What's up, Dream Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Elm Street. I'm Mark.
And I'm Brooke.
And this is a week three of our prehistoric horror. And we took it underwater last week. We're taking it underwater again this week. A little bit different of a tone of a movie this week, though.
Yep.
But yeah, we are talking about 2010's Piranha.
3D.
Did you? No, obviously not. That was going to be a stupid question.
My TV is 3D, but I don't have a 3D Blu-ray player.
Oh, okay.
And I don't have the 3D version of the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
This movie, it was a weird one, like, because it was filmed in 2D and then turned into 3D with, like, this technology that they had back then.
Yeah. Because the whole script was written for the 3D.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hmm. There was definitely parts where you could tell that, like, this is a 3D movie.
Yeah, 100%.
Those stupid, like, random ass shit flying at the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, before we talk about this, what have you been up to this week?
This week, not too much again. You know, it is a... summer, so I mean, it doesn't mean I'm going outside at all, but
I'm enjoying the nice weather from my house.
Yeah, exactly. I only watched two movies this week.
Oh wow.
I watched White Chicks.
Yeah,
random, but just scrolling through Netflix, I saw that. I was like, let's watch that.
And it holds up, eh?
It does. Yeah, I really like that movie. Mm-hmm. I thought the kid's fucking hilarious. And then the other movie I watched, a movie that you also watched, is a new movie called The Sadness, which is a Canadian movie, although it is filmed in
Taiwan, I think.
Taiwan or Thailand. So it's a foreign film, but not really a foreign film.
It's anyways, a Canadian film, but not really a Canadian film.
It's a wild ass fucking movie.
Yeah, it is.
Like, holy shit. Like, if you're into gore and all that stuff, like, this movie is for you, because there is so much fucked up shit and so much blood. Yeah, like I said in my review on Letterboxd, like, if you're looking for a compelling story and characters, this movie isn't for you. Like, you're not gonna get a Train to Busan type zombie movie. Yes, there's a train scene, it's crazy, but the characters and the dialogue and the story isn't there at all. It's just a wild movie.
Yeah,
there's some nasty kills and some nasty shit that happens. So yeah, that's about it.
All right, boring ass week.
Yep. What about you?
I think on our last episode I said that I finished Bad Channels, eh? Yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
I finished that Anthropophagus or whatever the fuck. Shit movie. I watched it because the synopsis on Shudder was like, oh, it's part of the video nasties in the 80s and it's been banned in so many countries and blah blah blah. Yeah. I was like, oh shit, like, I'm gonna check this out. And I think it was a Joe Dante movie. No, not Joe Dante. What's his name? Crew. Oh, Joe D'Amato.
Yeah.
So they're okay. Probably going to be good. No, not at all.
I mean, your rating on the Letterboxd wasn't terrible.
You gave it 1.5 stars.
Did you? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, it had quality, but it was just not a good movie. Like you said, I also watched The Sadness. Love it. Raven Banner has been knocking out hit after hit after hit these past like 4 years, I guess.
Yeah.
And speaking of them, I watched another one of their movies that you let me borrow. Spare Parts.
Yeah.
It was fun. It's probably my least favorite Raven Banner movie so far, but I still gave it. Still gave it a 3 out of 5. So I mean,
yeah, that's a good score. Yeah,
still good. my review, I said modern day punk rock Gladiator, which,
yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah. But yeah, check it out. Definitely check out The Sadness. It's on Shudder, but we pre-ordered the Blu-rays from the website.
Yeah. And like the thing about these movies, like I appreciate so much is even in like, I think the trivia for The Sadness, like I think they use like 90% practical effects, which like you don't see that often anymore.
Especially in a movie like that, where it's like constant gore from like fucking start to finish.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of fun. And yeah, that's been it.
Cool.
Not much for me either, really.
No.
This weekend was fucking packed, man. Like we drove down to Syracuse, which is like a 2-hour drive both ways.
Yeah, just, that was like a half day. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I had baseball last night and just shit going on. So not a lot of time to do much.
Nope.
But all right. Want to talk about this movie?
Yes, sir.
Cool, cool. Okay, like we said in the intro, this week we're talking about 2010's Piranha, or as our friend Seth from HMC would say, Piranha. Apparently that is actually how it's supposed to be pronounced, but I will never pronounce it like that.
That's like, I think he's just taken that from Finding Nemo. And the girl, yeah, she's like, I'm a piranha.
Fuck. This was a remake from... I can't remember what year the original Piranha came out. I think it was in the 80s. It was though.
Right after Jaws.
Yeah. And it was another one of those movies, just like Orca, that kind of was just riding on the coattails of Jaws. They even had like, even their fucking, their poster, the movie poster was like almost identical for Jaws.
Yeah. Man, I don't blame them.
I don't either. I mean, the money's there. Why not take it?
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know if we needed the remake, but it was a fun as fuck movie regardless.
Yeah, exactly.
Starting off with the synopsis. After a sudden underwater tremor sets free scores of the prehistoric man-eating fish, an unlikely group of strangers must band together to stop themselves from becoming fish food for the area's new razor-toothed residents. Nowhere in that synopsis do they mention that this is a 88-minute long Girls Gone Wild movie.
That's true.
This is very misleading.
Yeah.
Of a synopsis.
Mm-hmm.
There is naked women and drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
And literally 1,100 boats in a lake.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout this entire movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was
500 nuts. Extras.
Is that how much it was?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. That's wild. I was going to say, oh, we're worried about this one, like not having like the prehistoric sort of tone to it. Right. And I got watching it. I was like, oh my God, this is like the prehistoric piranha that we were kind of talking about.
Yeah. Cause even at the beginning, like the sign, it says, I'm going to butcher this word, but Mesolithic.
Yeah.
Era. And even, Carl Goodman's character, like he's like, oh shit, you know, that's the first piranha, you know.
Mm-hmm. Carl Goodman,
what'd I say?
Oh, okay, I get what you mean.
Oh, okay.
Carl Goodman was the name of the character, but
yeah
I thought you were going for the name of the actor. I forgot to this. Yeah,
I was gonna say something, but you were in a groove. I didn't want to cut you off.
I was reaching for it to have a sip, and I was like, oh, that's still closed. Before we go any further, what are you drinking?
I decided to take a break from the I'm done my box of beers.
Mm-hmm.
So I just picked up some good old Budweiser.
Some Budweiser.
Budweiser.
In a bottle too, eh?
What are you drinking?
I have 3 cans left of my Dominion City box that you got me.
Nice.
So I am down to my known commodity.
Okay.
6%. Not bad. It's an IPA. Tastes like an IPA. All right, now that we got that out of the way. This movie was directed by Alexander Aja.
I have to correct you.
Okay.
Because I actually watched this movie twice.
Oh.
Commentary. So yeah, I watched it twice within 24 hours.
Jesus Christ.
I got home and I had to put like a bunch of laundry away. So I was like, let's just throw in the movie with the commentary. Like I had the Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. So let's throw in the commentary. So it has him, who he pronounced his name as Alexander Aja.
Aja, okay.
So how it's read. And then another French guy, and then one of the producers on the movie.
Okay.
So I got a lot of info from it. I'm sure some of it you've seen from the trivia.
Mm-hmm.
But the commentary kind of changed the way I look at the movie. Like, it made me appreciate it so much more than... Well, I already did my first watch because I could see how much work was put into it, but like they just won. Well, I'll talk about it later. So,
okay. Yeah.
Huh. But I'm glad I watched it a second time.
Yeah.
With the commentary.
That would be an interesting commentary to listen to because, mm-hmm. like, whenever you just watch this movie without like thinking about the underlying, stuff with it, like, it's just like it's a splatter fest in the water.
Mm-hmm.
With tits and ass everywhere.
Yeah. I will say that at one point, Alexander said that this movie, he didn't make it to be some grand spectacle or,
mm-hmm.
Make a ton of money. He wanted to make a movie that he would want to watch when he's 15 years old.
Okay.
Like he wanted to make a guilty pleasure movie.
Yeah. That and I think he nailed the head.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's interesting. This movie's a lot different than his other movies. Like a lot of his other movies have a way more serious tone, except Horns. Like he directed Horns and that one's got more of a comedy factor to it. But like we've talked about him before, but he did Crawl, The Hills Have Eyes, High Tension, Oxygen, Mirrors. All of them are like a very serious tone to them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this one was just balls to the wall craziness.
Yeah.
But I like that you mentioned that it was kind of a movie that he would want to watch if he was 15 years old.
Yeah.
Because this movie came in 2010, so I would have been 21.
Yeah, I think I'm like 90% sure I watched this in the theater.
Mm.
Or it was the sequel, Piranha 3 Double D, which is still the best title of any movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't watched this since it came in theater pretty much. I think I watched in theater. I'm like fairly certain I did.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, like at that age, I was 21. I was in college. I was drinking all the time. And it was fun. It was a great fucking movie for that time period. Like,
yeah, exactly.
For my age, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Anywho. This cast list, man, I had trouble coming up with only 4 people to put on it.
Yeah. Like I looked at the start of IMDb at the start and then I started the movie and the second name that popped up was Adam Scott. And I was like, what? He's in this? Cause like he wasn't as the top billed cast on IMDb. Like you had to go far back to find him.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh shit, that's awesome.
But then like there's, Richard Dreyfuss has a scene at the very beginning. And he's like right at the top of IMDb and he was in it for literally like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they must've just went with like fame at that point.
Yeah.
But anyways, starting off with the cast list, I have Stephen R. McQueen who plays Jake. He's most known for The Vampire Diaries, Chicago PD, Chicago Fire and Everwood.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to lie, man, I 1000% thought that this was Mimi Siku from Jungle to Jungle. You ever watched that movie?
I haven't seen that movie in like 20 years.
Okay.
I
thought it was him for sure. But it's not.
Okay.
Just his doppelganger.
And fun fact, He is Steve McQueen's grandson.
Okay. All right. Yes. That's cool.
Yeah. They said in the commentary.
Okay. Because whenever I saw his name, I was like, Steve McQueen.
Yeah. Because he's like the grandson. And then the girl producer, she said that she's also related to someone like kind of famous. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we have Elizabeth Shue, who plays Sheriff Julie, or Jake's mom. Mm-hmm. She's obviously known for Karate Kid, The Saint, Adventures in Babysitting, Leaving Las Vegas, The Boys, Super Pumped, and CSI.
Yeah.
Have you finished Super Pumped yet?
Yeah, I did. It was only like 5 episodes, five or six. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next, I have Jerry O'Connell. His biggest dickhead role to date.
Yeah.
He plays Derek. He was in Stand By Me, Kangaroo Jack, Mission to Mars, Carter. He voices Superman in multiple animated movies and TV shows.
Which I can see. He even has kind of the look, too.
Yeah, he does. Now.
Yeah.
Scary Movie 5, Billions, and Star Trek Lower Decks. And this is where it got hard for me. So I did put 5.
Okay.
My fourth one is Jessica Zor, I think is how it's pronounced. She played Kelly, who is like Jake's kind of love interest sort of thing.
Yeah.
She's in Two Night Stand, Tower Heist, Fired Up, The Orville, Shameless, Gossip Girl, and Ted 2.
Yeah.
And of course, number 5, I have Adam Scott.
Yeah.
Who plays Novak. I didn't go through his list because we've talked about him multiple times on the show.
And yeah.
He's Adam Scott.
Yeah. On the commentary, and I also saw it on IMDb, but Adam Scott, he got offered the role of Derek.
Oh.
Before the movie like even started shooting. But he turned down because he said that he literally just played that same character. And Step Brothers.
Step Brothers.
Who was also named Derek and kind of had that same kind of persona.
That's true.
So he wanted to play like the hero of the movie. So they cast him as Novak.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Step Brothers came out in 2010 or like 2009.
I'm pretty sure it was like 09 or 08, I think.
Oh my God, man. Wow.
But, yeah, they were like raving about Jerry O'Connell like the whole movie. Like they said that. He just like came in and like wrote his own lines and just brought everything to that character and made him something more than what he was supposed to be.
Did you hear about the controversy with him? Like, did they talk about that at all?
At one point, they did say that the paparazzi found where they were filming.
Okay.
I don't know if this is what you're pertaining to, but I guess that the paparazzi showed up and started taking pictures of him in his Speedo.
Oh, really?
And like posted it online. He got like really upset about it, but then like they kind of sorted it out. What's that? Were you going to?
So I'm going to look it up. I don't even remember where I saw it. Oh, it might have been on IMDb. So basically, they based Jerry O'Connell's character, Derek, off of, here we go, Joe Francis, who was the Girls Gone Wild creator and like host of the show kind of thing. And like this Derek's show is even called Wild Wild Girls. So it's like kind of a play on it. So Joe Francis wrote a letter to the producers saying that he was angry at the film because of Jerry O'Connell's character. And that he might take legal action if any defamatory or disparaging statements or depictions in the media or in the film itself or other statements that portray Mr. Francis in a false light will be met with swift litigation. After seeing the movie, Francis went on saying, "I appreciate a good parody as much as the next guy, but to associate me with drugs and the filming of underage girls crosses a definite line." Jerry O'Connell has repeatedly and emphatically stated on the public record that he is playing Joe Francis, not a fictional character. Mr. O'Connell has done this despite having been warned by his lawyers not to admit this.
That's so funny.
I know. In response, O'Connell said, "I get to play Joe Francis. Oh, wait, for legal reasons, I'm not supposed to say, or for legal reasons, I'm supposed to say I play someone loosely based on Joe Francis."
That's hilarious.
But he's just like playing right into it.
Yeah.
That was really funny. And like, after I read that, because I read that while I was watching the movie, and so I was like kind of paying attention to him a little bit more, and I was like, oh my god, like this is Girls Gone Wild 100%.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And I have four, I guess, honorable mentions. Ving Rhames,
mm-hmm.
Christopher Lloyd, Eli Roth.
Yeah.
And I just put multiple porn stars.
Yes.
Because there is a lot of them.
Yeah. And listening throughout the commentary, there's a lot more, not cameos, but people that are close with the production team. Like Greg Nicotero, he shows up in it. He's one of the guys carrying like a person with half a body on a beach, really? At the one scene. The one scene at the end during all the chaos, one of the deputies is fuck, I forget his name. We just did his movie. The director did P2. Falks or something like that, or Frank something.
I can't remember.
So anyway, he's in the movie and he had to put on like a mustache to kind of blend in with people so people don't recognize him.
Okay.
And then his wife is the propeller girl.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention too, Richard Dreyfuss is at the very beginning, paying strong homage to Jaws.
Yeah,
because Dreyfuss was in Jaws, and he's even dressed the way that his character was in Jaws, and he's whistling the song that he sang in Jaws.
Yeah.
I guess he got paid $50,000 for his role in this movie, and he donated all of it, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, and he was like super excited to like be in this movie and like to be killed by the piranha. Like he was just like all over it, I guess.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I guess it was originally supposed to be Joe Dante and James Cameron. I'm lying. It was supposed to be those two that play boat captains who give safety lessons to the teens.
Okay.
Joe Dante wanted to do it, but Cameron was too busy apparently. But like Aja, like he was still like a very young up and coming director and writer and everything at this point.
Yeah.
And the people that he was able to get on board for this movie is nuts.
It is. It really is.
Like good on him.
Yeah. I got another fun fact later on about another person who had a say in this movie.
All right. I'm excited.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to talk about this movie?
Yes, sir. this opening scene, it's basically Richard Dreyfuss's character. He's like in a boat going fishing. And I don't know, like the whole reason why the earthquake like happened. I don't know if it was like purposely to get the shot of the bottle going down, like the exact moment that the earthquake happened, but they made it seem like the bottle was the reason why.
I was going to comment. Yeah. I was going to comment and say that was one strong ass bottle.
Like maybe it was like a commentary on like, cause there's already like a ton of garbage down there and like debris. So maybe it's just like this one last piece of garbage that just causes destruction.
That was the tipping point.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Cause like that lake is disgusting. There's like plastic chairs down there. There's like fucking lawnmowers and everything that you could think of in the bottom of this lake.
Yeah. Yeah. Did this scene remind you of a certain movie? Like the look of it?
Like him on the boat or the bottle going
like
to the
like the background and like the setting?
I feel like it should have.
I didn't pick it up whenever I watched it, but they mentioned it on the commentary that like this whole opening is kind of like an homage to like a Hills Have Eyes.
Okay.
And I guess like it was easy for them to film in this area because he worked on the Hills Have Eyes in that like kind of climate.
Okay.
It's like the hot weather and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. There's like a mountain range in the background. It's like desert and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And this movie was shot in 42 days and only cost them $25 million to make. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
With
so he was like saying like the amount of work that they went into this movie and like they didn't really have like a big budget compared to other Hollywood movies at the time, like mm-hmm. $25 million to intertwine the CGI and the practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think is awesome.
Not to mention, like you said, there's 500 extras, so they got to pay all of them.
Yeah.
Plus there was, like I mentioned, there was 1,100 boats, so they would have had to pay for all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus the big name actors, like Richard Dreyfuss only got $50,000 for his role, but like you got all these other people like Elizabeth Shue, Jerry O'Connell, Adam Scott, Ving Rhames, like they were in it for pretty much the whole movie. So yeah. I imagine their yeah. salaries would have been pretty decent.
I don't know. Cause like Adam Scott, like his first movie, I think was Step Brothers, really. Right.
Yeah, I guess.
Or like his big into Hollywood, I guess.
He was actually in Hellraiser 4.
Oh yeah.
I think it was 4.
Yeah. It was one of them. Yeah.
This long ass hair.
Yeah. But what'd you think of the opening kill and like the intro to this movie?
I like how they didn't sugarcoat the first kill.
No,
like Richard Dreyfuss gets fucked up and they don't shy away from it.
No. Although like the way that they filmed it, I didn't like it. I thought it looked fucking weird to me.
Well, yeah, it looks terrible. Like the CGI in these piranhas is awful.
I think for the most part, yeah, but like just this one shot they had, I just didn't like it. Mm. And like Alexander mentioned in the commentary, like they were going for like an artsy kind of shot. And like, I just didn't think it worked.
Yeah. I don't think they hit an artsy shot with that.
No.
Maybe back in 2010, but not now.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. So he gets eaten up and then you see like his hand go out. He has like parts of his fucking skin off. You mm-hmm. see bones on his hand.
Yeah.
So this movie does have a lot of practical effects. Obviously Greg Nicotero did a bunch of it and, you know, he went on to do The Walking Dead and mm-hmm. ton of other shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we kind of meet the rest of our crew. We meet Jake, who I don't know if he's just graduated high school or what, but I think Kelly came back from college
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if he's like in high school still or.
I feel like
on to college.
I feel like they graduated at the same time and he's just kind of stuck there because like, I don't know. He has such a responsibility of taking care of his younger siblings. Cause his mom's.
Yeah. I just thought it was confusing. Cause they did like the shot of the high school, like before they went to like the spring break.
Yeah, that's true.
So I was just confused with that.
Yeah.
A lot of the spring break shots are actually from a real spring break.
I can see that.
Yeah. So they had to like go back and forth. Like it was like the first few minutes, like Alex would be like, that's a real spring break. He's like, we filmed that. That's a real spring break. We filmed that. And there's one scene in kind of like the opening montage of like all the spring breakers where during the credits where these guys like moon themselves and has like mm-hmm. kiss my ass on their butt.
Yeah.
So that was intentional.
Okay.
So Alexander Aja's credit came up at the same time beside their asses.
Oh.
And he did that on purpose to kind of like tell off like the reviewers and everyone who kind of doubted the movie and like wrote it off.
Hmm.
But I thought that was fucking hilarious.
That is really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kelly is kind of dating these like two like surfer dudes. I didn't really write down their names. I think one's name is
Ron. One's Todd.
Todd. Yeah.
Todd. Her boyfriend is Todd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like these surfer dudes. They don't really like Jake that much. You get like some flirty stuff between Kelly and him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's kind of like this like dorky guy who kind of like his character kind of like comes into his own character near the end. Like he kind of turns into the hero sort mm-hmm. of thing. So you get a big character from him. And so this movie takes place on Lake Victoria, but they actually shot the movie in Lake Havasu.
Yeah.
And apparently they were talking about the commentary that if you base like the movie, like in a real town, you have to do so much stuff to like get permission and to prove that it's actually the real town that you're in.
Really?
Yeah. So I guess there's a lot of work that goes in behind putting a real town in a movie.
So they said, fuck it, we'll make it like Victoria.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they meet Derek. He's filming like a Girls Gone Wild video, like we said. We meet Danny and Crystal, who I know for sure Crystal is a adult film star. And I forget if Danny is or not.
Danny was played by Kelly Brook, who she was like a model and an actress. I don't think she did porn.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Derek hires Jake to show him around like all like the nice spots, and he calls him like Sand Rat the whole movie. And that's like,
well, because that's their fucking the mascot.
Oh,
the school's mascot. I forgot to bring that up because whenever they show the school, it says like congratulations Sand Rats, and I was like, who the fuck would want to go to that school and be a sand rat?
Yeah,
like what even is a sand rat?
Yeah, so he's like showing around. Jake is supposed to babysit his two siblings the next day, and Julie, his mom, is the sheriff of the town.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another shot of a guy like wake surfing.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he was like the champion wake surfer of that year that they got.
The fuck, like how did they get all these people? This is insane. Man.
Yeah. So yeah, the next day Jake is obviously going to work for Derek. I don't know if he's getting paid or not, but so the two kids, they decide that they're going to go for a fishing trip. And they end up getting stuck on an island because the brother forgets to tie off the boat.
Yeah. And they're like 10 years old. Like, yeah, they're young kids.
What is Jake doing? Like leaving them alone like that? Like,
I mean, he's 17, 18, right? Like,
yeah. But I mean, these kids are like 8 or 10 years old. Like,
yeah. But I mean, okay. Picture this. You're 18 years old, right? You have spring break happening in your fucking backyard.
Mm-hmm.
You got naked women dancing on boats. You got beer being handed around. Nobody's asking for IDs or anything like that. You get this guy who is well known filming this video, and he offers you a job to be his location scout.
Mm-hmm.
You turn that down because you have to babysit your little siblings.
Yeah.
I'm an only child, so I don't know. But I mean, I'm jumping at that opportunity at 18 years old.
Yeah, but the guilt you would have if something happens, like,
yeah, but like, do you think about that when you're 18?
Probably not. No, definitely.
I'd have been calling a neighbor or something. Come on over here and watch these kids.
Yeah,
so I can get my shit going.
And Alexander actually had like quite a praise about the kids. Like he said, they were great to work with, and he finds that kids are more professional and like not better at acting, but
mm-hmm.
like more professional and just easier to work with than adults.
Hmm. Well, they're probably not going to argue with him too much like an actor would.
Yeah,
like exactly. An adult actor, I should say.
And he said that he should, next time he watches the movie, to do a drinking game. Of every time you see titties, to take a drink.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Be hammered before you even got to the second act.
Yeah, exactly. You miss the titties in the background because there's so many of them. So Novak and his team are kind of, what's the word that they are? They investigate like earthquakes and stuff like that. I forget what the term is. So they are going out to the lake to do some research and find where this crack happened. And they end up finding the cave. And a fun fact, they actually built, a guy built this cave himself.
Really?
Like one of the producer guys. They had to build this giant ass tank to put into the water to film all of some of these scenes in.
Like $25 million budget. What the fuck?
Well, they're saying that I think it was like 80 feet long, the tank, and it actually was cheaper than if they like flew production to somewhere where there was already a tank built.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So yeah, his team, I didn't write down the two people's names, but it's a guy and a girl. They're going down there to investigate. The guy goes into the cave and it's basically like a lake under a lake.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all like these fish eggs and stuff. And he goes to like take one of the eggs and something bites him.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie was Alexandra wanted this scene filmed exactly like another horror-ish monster movie from the early 90s. Like with the scene where it lights up all the fish.
Is that Jurassic Park? No.
No.
Because I'm picturing like the flare with the dinosaurs. Early 90s horror-ish. Fuck. I can see it in my head.
As our boy Vin Diesel in it.
Oh, Pitch Dark. Or Pitch Black. Yeah.
And like this scene is like a lot CGI with the fish and stuff, but mm-hmm. I thought this is a really cool scene.
Yeah.
Like it showed like all the eggs and then the fucking fish just show up out of nowhere and then mm-hmm. just eat his ass and he's like screaming and they're like have no idea what's going on. And the girl, I don't know why, but mm-hmm. she just decides to go into the cave.
Yes.
To find out his rope has been cut.
Yeah.
And she just goes in and she's like halfway through the entrance and they're just like gnawing on her legs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Novak ends up going in and is like dragging her out. But and then they go to the boat and he like hands her body up to Julie.
Yeah.
At this point, the body is like
not even there.
He's like, get her out. And there's like no body because she's just like eaten alive.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
She's literally just a skeleton with some skin hanging off of it.
Yeah.
He's another, like, that was another one, like, because you mentioned that she went in, but like, he went right down in there too.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, like, I mean, I get you want to save your friends, but like, fuck, man. There's nothing left of them.
Yeah. They also really don't know what is down there. Like,
no, but
so.
Well, wasn't there still. Yeah, there was. There was still a piranha attached to her whenever they pull her up because that's how they get that one.
Yeah. But I don't think in the moment, like, he kind
no.
of. So now back on the Barracuda, which is the boat that Derek and all of them are on.
Okay.
They're kind of getting into the party phase. And actually, we forgot to mention one. Well, it's kind of an honorable mention. Paul. Who's played by, what's his name? Something Shear. Is it Paul Shear?
Paul Shear, yeah.
Yeah, Paul Shear.
Yeah.
Who is big in the league, which mm-hmm. I love that show.
Yeah.
So he's like kind of the cameraman, kind mm-hmm. of, but also Derek is. I don't know. It's weird. So at this point, Jake and Kelly are doing like body. Well, Kelly's doing body shot stuff of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Danny, I guess, was like originally supposed to be like exactly like Crystal, like not have really any like character or anything like that.
Okay.
But then she kind of made her own, like she kind of was Jake's kind of like confidant, like step to help him open up to Kelly and stuff like that.
Yeah, like she really kind of helped him come into his own.
Yeah.
I guess she showed up to her audition with an American accent. And she didn't get the part.
Yeah,
and
they mentioned that in the commentary. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they called her back and they were like, no, do it with your British accent. And then they ended up keeping that.
Mm-hmm. Because they found her, the casting girl walked into like, it was like a restaurant or a coffee shop
mm-hmm.
and saw her and was like, oh, you're perfect. Like, do you act? And she's like, well, yeah, I kind of do actually.
Yeah.
So they invited her to the audition and then.
Nice.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy, man? Like, you're just an actor. You're out having lunch or supper or whatever, and a casting director just comes up to you and says, hey, I have a part in a movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, imagine, like, you're in a restaurant, like, he's like, oh, we got an acting role. We think you'd be perfect. Oh, yeah, what's it for? Oh, you're playing a demented fat guy? Oh, thanks, man. I like that Jake, he does the shot like totally wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They even mentioned on the commentary, they're like, I wonder if Steve did that on purpose to like play into his character. Cause like, he's kind of this like dorky guy. Like they're doing tequila shots. Like he takes the tequila first, then the salt and then the lime.
So what I kind of thought was like, cause he does a tequila and then he licks, cause she has salt from like just above her belly button all the way up to her neck. Mm-hmm. And he licks like the entire length of her torso. So yeah. I don't know if he did it to be more sexual.
Right.
And to like get like finish everything off right in front of like right at her face.
Mm-hmm.
But it could have been because he was playing into his character. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Nice.
And then she like throws up and it's all like 3D.
Yeah.
And I guess this is one of the scenes that got the studio like into the 3D puke. Yeah, I'm all in. What did you think of the 3D overall? Like, we didn't see the 3D, but you could see that they were like, some of the scenes were.
It wasn't as in your face as some 3D movies are, like whenever you watch it in 2D.
Yeah.
Like off the top of my head, like I'm just thinking of like Friday the 13th 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And like some of the scenes with that is like, it's so blatant. And like they tried so hard to have this 3D aspect to it.
Yeah.
I feel like with this one, it's a lot, I don't want to say more tasteful, but it's like a lot more subtle. Is the word I'm looking for.
It really bugged me at the beginning because there's one whenever Todd throws a drink at Jake.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, what the fuck? And then whenever Julie like stuns, goes to like fake stun Jake, it's like, I was like, that's kind of stupid.
Yeah.
But they kind of get used to it after a bit.
Yeah. I mean, there was some where it was a little bit overplayed, but overall, I didn't think it was that bad.
Mm-hmm. So Novak and them, they bring the piranha they captured to Carl. I think that was his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carl.
Saul Goodman.
Yeah. And Carl's wife in this scene was actually the producer's mom.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. They mentioned. So yeah, he's like looking at, he puts it in the tank. He's like looking at it. And then he goes and grabs like a fossil and shows him like, this is like the first piranha, is like, what is happening? Then you kind of learn that like they discovered like a lake under a lake, like they were trapped in this lake and basically survived by cannibalism.
There you go. But yeah, Christopher Lloyd, he was saying that like the species of piranha just like literally disappeared off the face of the earth one day. Like nobody knew what happened.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there was some sort of like underwater volcano eruption or something like that, which like would have caused like a molten lava sort of thing to form over top of the lake that they were in.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But
yeah,
I don't know. Like I thought that this kind of, I don't know, backstory with the piranhas was kind of cool. Like, cause I don't know, I'm into prehistoric shit. I like dinosaurs and stuff like that. So like, I want to kind of look into it and see like if there's any truth to what he was saying.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be cool.
I also found it really funny and ironic that he just happens to have the fossil of this exact fish literally within arm's reach.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, give me a second. And he just goes and grabs it and brings it back.
Yeah. They also made a, I don't know if it was on purpose or maybe it's just because we watched it, but they made a subtle like line there. Someone says like, oh, how does this happen? And I think like the wife says, oh, maybe like someone has baby alligators that they raise and like that's how they come. And like, I don't know, yeah, if it's like Lake Placid, like, I don't know if that was like on purpose or just coincidence that we just watched it.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. So I guess they only had him for a day to film. Okay. And they ended up filming with him for 23 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Just cutting it right to the end.
Yeah. It's only the one day. So I guess like they're all like almost done. They, someone wanted to like take him back or something. They're like, well, it's 23 hours. Like we still got time.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And they were super excited to have him. And like they wanted to have some sort of, they were joking about like they should have had some reference to like Back to the Future where he like electrocutes like the eels with the clock or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
Like we'll get him in the sequel or something like that.
I thought like just having him as a doctor was kind of like their way of kind of incorporating that.
Yeah.
But or a scientist, I should say.
So now we get to the big ass party, and they're having the wet t-shirt contest. And the host of the t-shirt contest is our boy Eli Roth.
He was so obnoxious, man. Oh he my was, God. Yeah. I hated his character in this movie.
So funny. I guess Eli had to put the sunscreen on all the strippers like the whole day.
Oh, he had to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like it's a chore. I wouldn't even like that's my role in the movie. I'll just do that all day long.
Yeah.
You don't even need to pay me.
One of the best deaths in the movie, which Alexandra was super scared that was going to be cut from the movie. Which, speaking of that, they didn't get anything cut from the movie to get their R rating.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, like, there's full frontal nudity at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What'd you think of the parasailing scene?
Oh, my God, man. That was Gianna Michaels, by the way. She's a porn star.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. Mm-hmm. A little ridiculous, but also hilarious. Because, like, it's
fucking big titties.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was fun. I liked her death for sure. Because, like, I've never gone parasailing, but, like, if the boat's not going fast enough, you're obviously dropping back down into the water.
Yeah.
So she's just kind of like kicking around in the water and they're going at a slow pace. And then she starts getting fucking little nibbles at her feet.
Yeah.
And she's screaming at them to fucking pull her up. So then they finally do. And she's literally just like this up in the air and no, like just a torso, no legs or anything like that. Yeah. I was like, that is fucking sick.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy. And do you want to hear an insane story about this?
Sure do.
Okay. So they actually had two different actresses for this movie, this part.
Yeah.
Both were adult industry workers. So the first one they filmed, I think like half the scene or one of the scenes, they had to go away for like film something else for like a week or two. In that week, the original actress got arrested for having sex in public.
Yeah.
Well, they had to hire another adult industry worker to finish the scene. And then the first one like came back. So they kind of like, I don't know, shared the role, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I read in the trivia that it was Natasha Nice or something like that. And yeah, mm-hmm. she's the one that got arrested.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ.
So now we get into probably the craziest 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
The massacre of basically almost everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets fucked up in this scene. Yeah.
It's fucking full-blown chaos, man.
I don't even know where to start from this.
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, what are like two of your favorite kills from this scene or parts?
The one when Todd gets in the boat and like you mentioned the propeller girl.
Yeah.
She gets scalped by the propeller. I thought that was fucking insane.
Dude, that was fucking disgusting.
Yeah, it was.
And he like kills like 60 people on the way through there.
Yeah. Just get out of the way. Like, get out of the way.
But yeah, she like has hit her hair. Like, I don't remember this from the first time I watched it. But like that kill was so gross and so well done. Like it's a mixture of like CGI and like practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you see her hair and she's like freaking out and like, I know what's going to happen and I'm still not prepared for it.
Yeah.
Like as soon as it happens, like it rips her face off and it's so gross.
Yeah. It's fucking nasty. What was another like memorable one? Cause there is so much going on, man.
Yeah. Cause the platform where the contest was on.
Yeah.
People are like rushing to get up because Julie and all them, they come in. And they're like, okay, we need to shut down. Like, we have an emergency. Like, get out of the water. And everyone obviously doesn't listen to them and starts jumping in the water.
Yeah. I have another one. I remember. Whenever that's going down, one of the cables snap and it cuts a girl, like, right in half, like, across her chest. I thought that one was cool, too.
Yeah, she was actually another porn star.
Yeah.
And she was in the Office porn parody and the Big Bang Theory
oh my
porn
God.
Parody.
Jesus Christ.
And I guess originally it wasn't supposed to cut her like her bra, like to show her tits.
Mm-hmm.
But then Alexandra is like, well, fuck. I mean, if it's cutting her in half, it may as well cut off her bra.
Jesus.
So, like, I thought that was an awesome kill. It just, like, cuts her in half and just, like, her bra falls up and her titties, like, out.
Yeah.
And then it just, like, falls in half. So one of these kills was actually requested by a Oscar-nominated director.
Okay.
Mr. Quentin Tarantino.
Oh shit. Okay.
And the one was the one that started it all. Ass tube lady.
Ass tube lady. Oh yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, that girl was really cool too.
Yeah. And that girl was actually a contortionist they had to hire.
Oh really?
Because no one else could like do like get into the tube with her, all of her appendages out of the tube at the same time.
Hmm.
So I guess Quentin was like a friend with someone on the set, and he's like, I want someone's ass eaten out of like the tube.
Sounds so wrong.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say she was another porn star.
No, no. One I liked was that Eli Ross death.
Mm-hmm.
He gets like his head absolutely crushed by a boat.
Actually, yeah. That kill was nuts. Because mm-hmm. like everybody's just dying by the piranhas at this point.
Yeah.
And yeah, it I wasn't expecting it. Like I was expecting him to get eaten by the piranhas like everybody else. And then all of a sudden his kappa gets decayed.
Yeah. Like I wish this kind of scene was in the Meg.
Hmm.
Cause I feel like the Meg, if I remember correctly, like they didn't really have a scene like this, right?
Like where it's just complete chaos?
Yeah.
Well, because like the Meg's out in the middle of the ocean.
But like I feel like they hinted it at that with like the trailer and like all of that, you know, all like the partiers at spring break. And then you see like the Meg like underneath them all. Like
that's true. Would have been cool. It would have been like one gulp and everybody would have been gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought like them having the shotgun and the taser was like super dumb.
That was a stretch.
It was like Vin, okay, maybe like if they're jumping out of water, you're shooting them, but then they have like one shot of Julie shooting the taser into the water. And I was like, was she trying to like electrocute like a bunch of them?
Well, she did.
Well, she like shot one and it exploded, but it's like, okay.
I know. Yeah, that was a little far-fetched.
And I guess during the Todd kill, I guess the boat was pulled by a rope and it had no propeller on it.
Well, then how'd that girl's hair get stuck?
Oh, that's CGI, my friend. Yeah. Yeah, they had like 500 extras.
That's wild.
It was hard to pick what songs to have because they said like if you go to a spring break like each boat has their own kind of vibe. So they couldn't like buy like 200 different songs, so like they kind of like praise the girl who went out and like got like shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they had like a DJ that was kind of playing, so not every boat had to have their own music. Yeah, kind of thing.
Exactly. So back at the Barracuda, and another fun fact, they had five different of these boats that they defined. So they found one boat is like Greg Nicotero's boat or something like that. And it was like perfect. So then they had like searched around the US for four more boats that looked exactly the same.
Holy fuck.
And they had 150 shots of cleaning up stuff with CGI.
Wow.
So like when the boat of the Barracuda, like at this scene is like stopped in one place,
mm-hmm.
because they're in a river, the current is so strong. So one anchor won't keep the boat there.
Okay.
They had five different anchors on the boat.
Holy shit.
And they had an anchor on Kelly's little inflatable she had.
Okay.
Well, they had to CGI out all of the ropes and anchors around the boat.
Wow.
So it's like kind of like that stuff you don't think about, right? Like,
yeah. And I guess like if you only had one anchor, like the boat would be like kind of going around in a circle sort of thing too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it, like they, like this one scene, they had to reshoot it. Like, you know, it took them like 3 or 4 days because they had to like realign the boat like 50 times a day.
Jesus.
Cause it just kept moving.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be so frustrating.
Yeah. And this part of the lake they were on was called the Devil's Elbow.
Okay.
Which is like a part that he like found is like, apparently it's really hard to book this section of the river.
Mm.
So yeah, they're now stuck on some rocks and stuff like that. The kids are on the boat now. They went and rescued them. Derek kind of went crazy. He's all coked out now. They had a crash in the boat. And I never caught this in the first time, but what happens to Paul Scheer's character?
I think he just falls over the edge.
Okay. Because
whenever they hit the rock, he falls over.
Okay. I was like thinking, I was like, I didn't remember seeing him like getting killed or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. The boat hitting the rock is probably my least favorite part of this movie because it's an underwater shot and you see the rock and then you see like the glass enclosure that's underneath the boat.
Yeah.
And that's what apparently hits the rock, but like it doesn't even come close to hitting the rock. There's still like a gap like this.
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure the glass panel on the side of it where it wasn't even hitting the rock is the one that smashed in.
So
okay.
The rocks are CGI.
Okay.
And the glass thing that they built, like so he can do the shot. Fuck, we didn't even talk about that part.
The synchronized swimming. That?
Fuck.
The okay, we'll get back swimming? To
it in a sec. Yeah. So that little like underground glass thing, they made that themselves.
That's cool.
Yeah. And the rocks were CGI, so there was no rocks there. But yeah, I get it. Yeah, that scene was fucking awesome, man. It was hilarious.
I did
like it.
I thought it was just a little overdone.
Oh man, they were laughing so hard because like they wanted to get that specific music for this scene.
Yeah.
And the two actresses actually trained for 4 weeks to be underwater that whole time.
I was wondering because like you don't see them come up, and like obviously this is done in more than one take, but like
yeah,
I was like, damn, they are underwater for a long ass fucking time.
Yeah, they were underwater for like, but else they came back up, but like up to 10 minutes at a time.
What?
Yeah.
Like the actual actresses?
Yeah. They trained for 4 weeks.
That's insane.
To do that scene.
That's insane. 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Really?
Like they went up for air, but like they practiced to like be in the water for a long time and to do the synchronized swimming together. Like they practiced for like 4 weeks.
Wow. Yeah. So they weren't under the water 10 minutes at a time.
No. I think that
okay.
I just read like the record was like broken by someone on Avatar 2. It was like 8.5 minutes or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Avatar 2. They finally fucking got a trailer for that.
I know. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, back to this. it's funny. So during Crystal's death, like every death that happens, Alexandra is like, oh, that's my favorite death of the movie. And then like so the death would happen, he's like, God, no, that's my favorite. another one I just remember that we totally forgot to talk about was fucking Vin Rames' death.
Mm.
When he just fucking picks up the motor.
Yeah.
So and just sick. Puts it in the water and just going nuts for like 5 minutes. It's like that was sick.
Fucking chainsaw kind of thing with a boat motor.
Yeah. So Crystal and Derek, they fall in the water. And then Derek kind of like shields himself with Crystal. And she like is get eaten. And then like a piranha like eats her stomach,
mm-hmm.
goes into her stomach, and then comes out of her mouth.
Yeah.
It was
sick. Nuts.
Yeah.
the whole time she was getting attacked, I was just like, oh my God. Her implants are going to fall out. Her implants are going to fall out. Her implants are going to fall out.
Yeah.
And then like 10 minutes or like more towards the end of the movie, it's a scene of like all the massacre, and it goes back to that boat, and you can see her two implants floating back up to the surface of the water.
Yeah, so funny thing they mentioned in the commentary too is silicone doesn't float.
Oh, really?
So they had to put hair like underneath the silicone so it would go up. Yeah.
That's funny. So that was actually silicone. I figured they just CGI'd it in.
Yeah. And what do you think of Derek's? Well, he doesn't die yet, but he's pretty much dead.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of his his death?
I don't know. He's just, I was happy he died. I did like his character. I thought he's a fucking piece of shit. And even when he's trying to fucking get saved, he's like, "You fucking bitch, pull me up, you fucking bitch."
Yeah.
But like the aftermath of his attack was really fucking cool.
Yeah. Do you want to know how they did that?
Please.
Yeah. So they cut a hole in the boat.
Okay.
Where he is. And he was like in the boat with his top half out. And then they put the fake legs in front of him.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And so then they destroy another boat.
Jesus Christ. And he's laying there and he goes, "Jake, they took my penis, Jake. They took my penis." Oh, you poor bastard.
And then like his last words is like, "Wet t-shirt."
Yeah.
"Wet t-shirt." Then after you get like the shot, after he throws him in to save Kelly underneath, you see his fucking CGI penis.
Yeah, floating around.
That's fucking hilarious.
What did they say about that in the commentary? Did they talk about that?
Well, they just like talked about, because I think it goes from like this scene to the scene at the beach whenever everyone is like, he said it was like Saving Private Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what he based it on, kind of.
It's literally what I have in my review.
Yeah. So like, yeah, it's like everyone like saving each other, right? They're seeing like the destruction. Like it goes from like this very silly and hilarious thing to like a more serious kind of thing where it's like the town dealing with the aftermath of it, right?
Yeah, actually, I never really thought about it like that. Like it's kind of, and
they hired a bunch of amputees for this. Shot.
And if you watch the credits, and I only know this because of IMDb, they actually give thanks to I think it's surfer amputees or something like that.
Okay. Because like it was easier, right? Instead of like CGIing out their legs or anything like that, you know, just
put some makeup,
stick on some makeup or whatever on their legs. And
yeah. Man, some of these shots were like, oh wow. Like the one cop who like is missing all this, the muscle and skin off of his leg, and he's like walking into the beach, like,
yeah.
Oh,
I know. I wish I would have just like paused it and just like looked at the frame to see what's happening. So the guy that was like carrying a person on his back and like half of his body was gone, that was Greg Nicotero that was carrying him. Yeah, that whole scene was just chaos. See like people in the boats like giving CPR, people just like with scratches and bites out of them. Now Julie and Novak are going out to save Jake and them, and they get a rope connected to Novak's boat, and they have to go across the rope. And I guess they trained to do this too, because like some people could do it, but some couldn't. Yeah. So they had to train to like, you know, carry themselves over the rope. And they did like swimming training. Like some actors were more comfortable like in the water. Like Jake obviously was like really good in the water with his scene. But then I guess like Kelly was very like claustrophobic and was like freaking out like a whole whack load.
Okay.
Because like they're in this like giant ass tank in this boat, and they're like trapped in this little like area. So Danny's like the first to go across the boat, and then she's, her hair's like in the water, and she's, the prawns are like jumping up and like biting her, and she has no chance. She's done.
I was actually upset that they killed her off. I really liked her character.
Yeah, me too. What'd you think of like the final plan to kill all the piranha?
Just blow up the boat?
Yeah.
I mean, do you really think that's going to work?
That's true. I thought that too.
I don't know.
Like the explosion, like the piranhas are like going away from the boat.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't know, like how would that kill them?
I don't, I'm sure you would get like a bunch of them, but like, you're not going to end this just by doing that.
Yeah.
I like Adam Scott's comment too. Thought dynamite fishing was illegal in these parts.
Yeah.
So cheesy.
So I guess for this final scene to determine how they were going to kill all this pool of piranha, they spent hours and days thinking of this because he didn't want to do the same thing as Hills Have Eyes.
How does that end? I don't remember.
Because they end up like shooting propane or something like
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Houses.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, he didn't want to copy the same thing he did before, but they couldn't think of anything really to do to blow up, to like kill the piranha.
Yeah. I guess that's the only way that you can do it.
Yeah.
Like, how else would you?
Yeah. So at the end of the day, he's like, I don't really care if people think that caused a kind of cop out.
Yeah. Like,
what else are we supposed to do?
Yeah, exactly.
And then the scene where they have them pulling out Kelly and Jake on the rope was inspired by James Bond.
Okay.
I guess, did you watch the Roger Moore James Bonds?
No, I only got through the Sean Connery.
So I guess in the Roger Moore ones, I guess like that happens in one of the movies or something like that.
Okay.
So yeah, I wanted to do it. Yeah.
Interesting. I like this end scene too, because like they think that they have everything done, and then Carl Goodman calls them, and she's like, "Oh, we got most of them. Like, it's not all of them, but at least it's a good start." And blah blah blah. And he's like, "No, like we're in a lot of trouble here." And she's like, "What do you mean? Like they're almost all gone." Blah blah blah. He's like, "Oh, the fish that you brought me doesn't have any mature reproductive organs." And she's like, "What does that mean?" And he's like, "It means that these are the babies." And Adam Scott's standing there and he's like, "These are the babies, we're the parents." And there's fucking jumps out of the water and takes them in.
You like that?
I liked the phone conversation where they come to the realization where they're like, "Oh shit, we're still fucked."
Right. I didn't like that fucking part of the ending. And I guess they're saying in the commentary that like the studio wanted that. They wanted the big parent fish to show up.
Of course.
Yeah. Which I don't remember like 3DD, like if the fish is any bigger in that one.
I don't know.
Or not. That's kind of bummed they killed Novak.
He was barely Adam Scott at that point though.
That's true. Yeah. He's Adam Scott in my eyes though. Oh, and they were saying that Jake, Steve McQueen, changed his diet throughout the movie.
Okay.
So I guess he wanted to be in better shape and stuff like that. So I guess he like changed his diet. I don't know.
Did he ever even have his shirt off? Like, why did it matter?
I don't. Yeah, he did when he jumped in to try to save Kelly.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
Anything else that we missed or that you wanted to talk about?
No, I don't think so. You fucking covered more than I ever could have imagined. So,
yeah, I started watching the commentary. And then, like right off the bat, like the first like 8 minutes, they're like fucking just info, yeah, facts, just like at the wazoo.
At the wazoo.
That's why I texted you. I was like, dude, hope you're excited for today. Got a lot of info.
This isn't a bad idea to like maybe start doing this a little bit more, watching it with commentary.
Yeah.
Because you get so much more. IMDb only gives you so much trivia, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's good. Because there's so much that you brought to the table that I would have never known about.
Cool. Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
And that's the way the blood splatters. Dude, I'm getting bad. I keep forgetting.
I know. What's going on? All right, man. Time for the reviews. What did you give it?
This was tough, but I went with my heart, not my brain. So, story, I gave a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
I said a fun monster movie where an earthquake opens up a secret lake hiding prehistoric piranhas. All of the characters are fun and likable. Some of them aren't likable, but anyway. Not a great story, but certainly a guilty pleasure type movie. So 5 out of 10 for story. And for quality, I gave it an 8 out of 10.
Oh.
I said unreal special effects with some not so great CGI. So I feel like it kind of weighs itself, but I feel like the special effects, like just that one scene that we talked about, unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal. A ton of work was put into this movie with not an insane budget, like 25 million, maybe in 210, like wasn't that crazy, I don't think.
I don't think so.
I thought the acting was good for like what the type of movie it is. I also like the score, and I had a lot of fun watching this movie. Like,
yeah.
It's a blast. 5 out of 10 and 8 out of 10.
Cool. All right. I went with my brain.
Okay.
But prefacing, much like Velocipastor, I had a blast watching this movie. I will watch it again. It's been forever since I've watched it.
Yeah.
And watching it today before we recorded, like, it's so much fun. So take that into consideration while I go through this. My story, I give it a 2 out of 10.
Okay.
I said an underwater earthquake opens up a massive trench, which is housing prehistoric piranhas. Seems pretty unlikely to happen. The movie plays out as an 88-minute Girls Gone Wild episode with some killer fish tossed in it. The amount of random boob shots and nude synchronized swimming actually got to the point where I was like somewhat annoyed by it. I was like, oh my God, like, I don't know. It just felt like they were just throwing it in there just to have it.
It's spring break, man.
I guess. We didn't have spring break up here, though. No. Like,
but I guess they did a lot of research on spring break.
I guess. Like, when you think about spring break, like, Dan and
Lee. Like, he kept going on about, like, how they don't have this in Europe and, like, how he was, like, amazed at, like, spring break and like beer balls or like something he's never seen before, but he just like loves the idea of it.
Okay. I mean, I guess like I never got a chance to participate in like spring break like this. Yeah. So maybe it is actually like that. I wouldn't be surprised. I like the subtle and not so subtle tributes to Jaws. It was a nice added touch. Cause I mean like, this movie obviously took some inspiration from that movie.
Yeah, much I mean, like they didn't get Richard Dreyfuss for nothing, right?
Exactly.
Like, there's a reason why they did.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really cool that they did that. The script was very basic, but it did have some good comedy throughout it. Quality, I gave it a 5 out of 10. I said shitty fucking CGI piranhas. I hated the look of the piranhas in this one. Even for like 2010, like the CGI was kind of really bad with the fish. The acting was well done, but that's to be expected when you have a cast like this. The kills and gore were sick as hell, and the practical effects were insane. That beach scene when everyone is coming to the shore was the most brutal beach scene since Saving Private Ryan. The movie was fun as hell, and I forgot about how much I enjoyed it, but it really isn't like a good movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I did have a lot of fun with it regardless. All right. You guys know our scores. Let's head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they've scored it. The critics' consensus: playing exactly to expectations for a movie about killer fish run amok, Piranha 3D dishes out gore, guffaws, and gratuitous nudity with equal glee. So what do you think the critics scored?
73%.
Oh, man. 74%.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah. This fucking movie is certified fresh.
See, this is why, like, Rotten Tomatoes is so fucking dumb. Like, it seems like they give, like, this movie and Velocipastor, like, you know, they're like, oh, this movie is going for that.
Yeah.
But then like other movies we've covered where it's like clear as day that they're also going for that. Mm-hmm. They just fucking shit on.
Yeah.
Like,
I know. Gosh.
I don't know. Pick a lane.
That's very true. Yeah. 74%. It's fucking certified fresh. This is on 132 reviews. and an average score of 6.2 out of 10.
Wow.
Yeah. The audience rating, 43% on 50,000 ratings and an average score of 3 out of 5.
Okay.
Or 6 out of 10.
All right.
I figured like those numbers would be reversed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But apparently not.
Yeah, I looked. The sequel has like a 3.7 on IMDb.
I kind of want to watch it.
Yeah, me too.
I have seen it like when it first came out, but I think that was only one me time. Too.
Yeah.
All right. What's Letterboxd got for us?
So Letterboxd is a 2.4 out of 5. So I actually had two ratings.
Okay.
On my first watch,
yeah,
when I recorded it, I give it a 3 out of 5. But then when I rewatched it today, I bumped it up to a 4.
Okay.
Because fuck it. I had a blast with this movie. And like, I don't know, man. Like, just the commentary and like how proud they were of this movie. Mm. I don't know, man. Like, I love film, man. And they put so much into this. Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't know. So, and then you gave it a 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
With a heart. You liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Slosh and Captain gave it a 3 out of 5, and Screaming Cinema gave it a 2 out of 5.
Yeah. So, I mean, not like terribly received.
Oh,
not 74% certified fresh either. Unless it's you. But yeah, I think, yeah, watching the commentary and having that walkthrough of it, and like the process and like the emotions that went into it and everything like that, I think that would like really change your perspective on a whole, like a lot of movies.
Yeah. Like even my first watch, I did want to give it like a 3.5 or 4,
mm-hmm,
but I was like, like I'll just put it here. But then like after watching it, like again, I was like, yeah, I fucking love this movie. It's great.
Very nice.
Yes.
All right. You ready for the scare section?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what did you give for a scare rating?
So, scare rating, I gave it a 5 out of 10.
Wow, okay.
There was some very brutal kills that made me do the finger peek. yeah, there wasn't like, they tried to do like some jump scares and stuff like that, but
yeah,
like the CGI just took it away and like the score wasn't there enough during those scenes, so it didn't really get me there, but
mm-hmm,
the gore and the kills were insane.
Yeah.
And scariest scene, this was kind of difficult to choose because during the beach massacre there were so many kills and great kills, but I had to go with the propeller girl,
mm-hmm,
just because that scene is so fucking brutal. Like, could you imagine, like, you have your hair stuck in this, just having that is terrifying,
mm-hmm,
and then some guy is there trying to start it, and she's like screaming, "Don't start it! Like I'm stuck."
Yeah,
and then she gets her fucking face torn off. Like, did you die instantly?
I would assume so.
Yeah, I guess because he would scalp you, and ugh.
Maybe he wouldn't. Oh man, why'd you ask that question? Because, I mean, like, what about it would kill you instantly?
Yeah.
Like, I would assume the only way that you would die is from bleeding out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're alive for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I got tingles right now.
Oh, my God, man.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Anyway, would I survive? I said yes. Because I hate swimming and being in the water, so I wouldn't be near any of that shit. I'd be in my fucking room playing WoW.
Wow. In 2010. All right.
What about you?
My scare rating, I gave it a 3 out of 10. So this is strictly based on the gore and the kills. The movie isn't scary, but some of the scenes are definitely gross as fuck. My scary scene, I said it's a toss-up between the scene at the beginning when Richard Dreyfuss's character comes up and, like, whenever Julie falls in the water And all of a sudden, his body pops up behind her. I was like, holy fuck. Like, it got me.
Okay, now that you brought that up, there was during that scene, apparently that swamp smelled like shit.
Oh, fuck.
And they didn't tell Julie or Elizabeth Shue how dirty the water was.
Oh, man.
Because they didn't want her to, like, be like, I'm not filming that. So they just, he didn't tell her that the water was, like, disgusting.
I would have been so pissed. Like, what if she, like, inhaled a bunch of that fucking water and like had it in her mouth and shit. Yeah. So between that scene and the propeller girl, for sure. Would I survive? I said, I can't refuse a party. I'd be in the water. Therefore I'd be dead.
All right.
I mean, it looked like a great time. You don't think so? You also wouldn't leave your siblings to go do it. So I mean,
that's true. That's true.
Oh, shit. All right.
That's it.
I'm getting sleepy. That is it. It's almost time for bed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. Next week, we have a very special episode that I'm super pumped for.
Very excited.
One of the reasons why we're doing this entire month is the reason why we're doing this entire month is because of this franchise. But yeah, next week we are doing Jurassic Park. Finally. I've just been like chomping at the bit all month. Like, we need to just get through all these movies so we can watch Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I know. I'm so excited.
But not only are we doing an episode on Jurassic Park, we also have a guest coming on who is no stranger to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Also a huge fan of the Jurassic Park franchise.
Yep.
We are getting our dear friend Felicia Connor from Two Chicks and a Horror Flick to come on for this one. And then again in another episode in June.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm super pumped.
Dude, I'm so pumped. I finally saw the trailer for Dominion.
I haven't watched it.
Dude, they showed it before the Northmen. Dude, it looks so good.
Does it?
I'm so pumped for it. Nice. Holy shit.
I don't know if I want to watch it or if I just want to go in blind.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. So really looking forward to next week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess if you guys want to catch us on social media, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at A Podcast on Elm Street. If you click the link in our bio on Instagram, you'll find links to our TeePublic account where we have our merch. There's also a link to our Patreon account if you wish to support the podcast that way. There's also links to our individual Letterboxd accounts, our YouTube channel. Please subscribe. And our Discord server and anywhere that you can listen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Well,
that's it. We will talk to you next week, guys.
See you later.